This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And I like guys.
And I like girls.
But we hope you love this podcast.
Joy 94.9.
Hump Day Crew Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Joining me in the studio is an individual looking back at me with the eyes of a 6 years child. She has a reputation for being 6 foot silly and sexy, and was once 6 foot silly and 6 months pregnant. She likes a bit of rawhide, is mad about movies, especially Beauty and the Beast, performs after dark, and I think she's worked out that I'm illegally blonde because she's discovering my roots. Here to mix it up and talk about the ABCs and all that jazz is the one and only Fox herself. Good morning, Tracy Bartram.
Oh, Adam, I'm probably a bit too old to be a fox these days.
Oh, but thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for being here. I love being at Joy.
Now, I must admit, I'm personally familiar with you because I'm a Perth boy.
Oh, right.
And I'm not happy with you because when I first started at Joy, I used to stuff up over and over again saying you're on Joy 94.5.
Oh, right, because that was the call sign of the first station I ever worked at.
It was, yes.
Yeah, so, well, WA does stand for Wait a While.
Wait a While, yeah. Well, they do say now that they're at, what, 3 hours and 10 years behind us?
I think it's 3 hours and 25 years.
Yeah, it depends.
Yeah, when you look at the racism there, yeah, but let's not make it tawdry first thing in the morning.
Hello to all our Perth listeners that are podcasting this.
Yeah, good. Well, they know.
Tell me a little bit about when you're in Perth.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. How did you get into the radio?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing stand-up comedy and I had been for 3 years and I went to Perth to do their Fringe Festival, which is called the Outrage Festival, and I still love that name. I think they may have changed it now. And I met my husband. I was on stage and I said, are there any single straight blokes here on window shopping? And one man put his hand up and it was him, and he was the technical director of the show. And I said, well, you'll do, and I married him. So he's kept me on the straight and narrow because I've told him, you know, when I throw him over, it'll be for another chick. But, you know, so far he's kept my interest.
Yeah. And it's always good being married to a lighting director, isn't it?
Makes you look fabulous.
Exactly. You're not going to look bad on stage, are you?
Definitely not.
How did you get into comedy in the first place?
Well, I was doing sales and marketing and I got the sack because I wouldn't shag the boss. I mean, I had integrity. Mind you, if I'd fancied him, I would have shagged him. But he just decided to terminate my job. So I couldn't get another one. And this was in the old days when the Arbitration Commission was still around, before VCAT. And I did take them to court and I got a couple of months' pay, but I was pretty much unemployable after that because I was the top salesperson for this particular company. And so I was a bit lost and I decided to do a personal development course, which ran for about 3 months. And in the middle of that, a whole bunch of us went to The Last Laugh, which isn't here anymore. Oh, well, it is. It's moved to the Ath now, but it used to be in Smith Street, Collingwood, on the corner of Gertrude Street. Mm-hmm. It was a fantastic building. And a lot of performers, we all started out at the same time, like the Scared Weird Little Guys and Judith Lucy and Bob Franklin. You know, it was just a fantastic time. And I decided to do stand-up comedy after I'd seen a woman tearing strips off blokes in the front. And I thought, oh, it doesn't have to be like that. And because I really like blokes, I've married a couple of them. And I just don't like that sort of humour where you're belittling an audience. So I just made the decision there and then I said to my friends, I think I'll do stand-up comedy. And they went, oh, thank God. Because I was living in East St Kilda and doing stand-up comedy, eating cheese blintzes for breakfast, and I just discovered I was Jewish. So it's in my bloodline to do comedy. We know we can't help it.
No, no. So were you a repressed comedian before you actually, when you were in the marketing business and like growing up?
I don't think I was repressed. Well, I was as a child. We had a pretty ordinary home life and my dad was an alcoholic and he's dead now, so I can talk about him. But, you know, it wasn't a happy home. And I think, I'm grateful to my parents because they're funny people and great sense of humour. So I think you're either born funny or you're not. And we did have a lot of laughs in between all the smashing of chairs and punching of holes in the walls. I mean, my mother, when Dad was having one of his temper tantrums, she'd just look at us and go, with Jesus in the daddy's heart, happy, happy home, which was hilarious.
My God.
Yeah, I know. And then he'd punch another hole in the wall. But, you know, you had to laugh. So I think I just grew up with it. And then I was 30 when I was unemployable and thought, yeah, well, I'll give it a go. And I'm now 50. I know that's hard to believe.
I would have said 32.
No, I needed to slap you there, just to nudge you and say,
do you promise
I know it's hard to
slap me after the interview?
I'm old enough to be your mother. Stop it, Adam.
Okay, sorry. How did you find, after doing stand-up comedy and touring around, how did you find going into radio? Was it change? You know, having a live audience in front of you, having that to react to, and then having a microphone sitting in front of you.
Yeah, it's different. It took me a long time to get over the fact that I didn't hear any laughter, apart from the people I was working with. I mean, the first guy that I ever worked with in Perth that you would have listened to, he was great to work with because he used to laugh. And then the next guy I worked with never used to laugh. So that was just nightmarish for me because, you know, you don't know if people are laughing or not. But luckily I've had lots of emails over the years saying, you know, we like you. So that's good. If you're working in a relationship where you're not getting any feedback from your on-air partner, it can be pretty tricky.
For sure.
Yeah, but I think radio's fabulous. It really is my favourite medium because it's so immediate.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, here we are live right now and, you know, I'm doing my second gig tonight at Priscilla's and, you know, I'm telling your audience about
it. So let's talk about that. You're also a jazz singer.
Well, no, I want to remove the word singer, jazz, because it put me in a box. And according to Michael Jordan, my drummer, he said, we don't bill you as a jazz singer anymore because it's just too restricting. What had happened was I'd started off doing song parodies in my stand-up shows and then my husband had a big birthday party and I hired a jazz trio and I sang one track for him and the pianist said, you're a jazz singer. I said, no, I'm not. I'm a pop singer. But I've morphed into a singer who sings songs that I love. And I'm now working with three extraordinary musicians, Sam LeMann on guitar, Kim Kellart on his big Hammond organ, and Michael Jordan on drums. And last week for our opening night, it was hilarious because Mitch Daly, who runs Priscilla's, was saying, I want to help him with this big wooden organ. I mean, it was just, you know, boom tish all
yes.
night. But
yep.
just fantastic musicians. And I love Priscilla's as a venue because it's so stylish.
That's what I was intrigued with when I found out that, you know, you've had a bit of a break and you've come back to singing. Why did you choose Priscilla's?
Priscilla's chose me.
Oh.
Mm. And it was interesting. I got a call. I mean, this is the way it all happens. I mean, I'm really a great believer in manifesting what you want. And I'm a big meditator. And I was ready to put a band together. And my father died 3 years ago. And I really was in a period of mourning. And in the Jewish faith, not that I live by that, but we call it sitting Shiva, where you don't do singing and dancing. And I don't even know what the official mourning period is. But for me, 3 years felt right. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel it was okay for me to be singing and dancing when I was really grieving for my dad, as much of a bastard as he was, and he as flawed as he was. But, you know, he was a very unwell man.
Yes.
And he had the illness of alcoholism that I inherited from him, but I'm in recovery. And so I thought, well, okay, time's right. And so then it was interesting because Facebook and Twitter have made such an extraordinary impact on my life and I really resisted them for such a long time.
But you've fallen victim now. You've sold your soul to Facebook and Twitter.
Well, I think what I love about Facebook is the way it brings people together. And what had happened was a girlfriend of mine had posted something and then one of her friends posted something. So there were three or four of us who all knew each other. And I said, now there's a lunch. And we organised this lunch on Facebook, well, you know, off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And we met without having any phone calls. We all turned up at this restaurant. But on the way down to that lunch, completely unrelated to that, I'd been on the phone to Michael Jordan, whom I'd played with in jazz trios before, and said, look, I'm ready to put a band together. And I'd seen Kim Kellart playing at the Yarra Glen pub with Bobby Valentine, who's another stalwart of the Melbourne singing industry. And so within that drive from Warburton to Melbourne, I put the band together. So I caught up with my girlfriends who said, when are you going to start singing? I said, funny you should mention it, but I've just put the band together now. And they mentioned Priscilla's. And the next day, I got a call from Mitch Daly saying, can you do every Wednesday in October? So I rang my drummer. I said, best we start performing. We need to do some rehearsal. And it was our first gig last Wednesday. And I've got to say, it was an absolute high point of my entire career. And I had 3 nights, 3 hours sleep, and had to go straight to the ABC and do their breakfast show.
Oh, wow.
To fill in for Red Simons, who'd taken the night off because of his hey-hey commitments. And then there was that whole political drama about the awful act on Red Faces,
yes.
which we won't talk about.
No.
But he was off, you know, because he was recovering. And I had 3 hours sleep, but it didn't matter because I was just absolutely so pumped because we were made so incredibly welcome by the punters at Priscilla's. And just, you know, I felt at home because they're my peeps. You know, I don't feel really comfortable in a straight world and I'm not straight and I don't feel comfortable in a room full of suits. So there we were in this beautiful venue with wonderful people, and a venue is only as good as its management. And I think what they've done at Priscilla's is they've created a really safe place, and it's just a lovely place to perform.
Now, I must point out as well, your drummer never played basketball, did he?
No, it's a different Michael Jordan.
I did get excited when I was reading the bio and the band list. I'm like, she's got Michael Jordan to drum for her.
No, but there was a guy there last week who was about 6'8", and he'd actually played basketball with Michael Jordan, and which I thought was hysterical because I felt so little next to him because I'm 6'1". And so I love standing next to tall people because I'm always the biggest. You know, I was never, ever the bridesmaid. I was always the bride. I've been married 3 times, but second husband I've married twice, so it doesn't really count.
So you're performing all through October at Priscilla's?
Every Wednesday.
Kicks off at what time each night?
Well, doors open at 8 and showtime's 9:30. So, and we start right on 9:30 because that's only fair.
So that's 9:30 real time, not 9:30 drag time?
9:30 real time. Oh, yeah, don't talk to me drag time, because, I mean, I used to have the show bags opening for me and it was like, excuse me, you've got a half an hour call before the curtain goes up, and they'd be wandering in. But I bumped into Jessica James last week and she's still as fabulous as ever.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. Now, before you let me go, I'm going to get a plug in for Riverdale Retreat.
Yes, do.
Because, only because it's a business of mine in Warburton, and we've just won an award from the Take a Break people, which is a website for going away and doing stuff. We've just won the best gay and lesbian friendly place in Victoria.
Wow.
So that's Riverdale Retreat.
What makes you so gay and lesbian friendly, would you say?
It's just that market, I think we attract. I mean, I think, I don't know, I think it's about quality, and there's no doilies. We're a doily-free zone, so I can't stand doilies, but it really is about value. We'd put it together because we travel a lot, and I couldn't find a place that was going to supply everything that I wanted. You know, I want to be able to make a salad, and I want to be able to use salt and pepper and not dust that's in those horrible little packets. And so we put it together as if it was a friend's holiday house, and there's absolutely everything there that you want, and you come up and have a lovely time and then you go home.
You serve food there as well?
We don't live on the property.
Okay.
It's a standalone property.
Standalone.
But we supply all the food and it's all organic. Absolutely everything's organic.
That's one other thing I was impressed looking at your website is you're very into ethical eating, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Mm. Yeah. Look, you know, if you look at the way the planet's going now, we don't have a choice but to be ethical in our choices, and that I think that's from everything. Everything we buy, everything we eat. And if we can be conscious consumers, then we can save what we have. But I think if we stay stuck in that 80s paradigm of greed is good, and a lot of people are still doing that, it's like, well, I don't care about the water, I'll still have a long shower. You just can't. I mean, I'm in and out of a shower in a minute, literally, because I just can't justify it. And we've got to be careful. So, you know, Riverdale reflects all of that.
That's beautiful. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
It's
a pleasure. Can't wait to come along and see the shows. Wednesday nights at Priscilla's, starting at 9:30 real time.
You coming tonight?
I think I will.
Bless you.
I'll see you then.
See ya.
Joy 94.9.
Hump Day Crew Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And that was one of our podcasts, but I still like guys.
I still like girls.
Boys are better, though.
I don't know about that. Listen to another podcast and find out.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.